So I want to talk to you about storm tools. So the conceptual idea behind storm tools is that there are a bunch of folks that are spending a lot of time and money developing procedures, methodologies, and systems to be able to do this planning. And the problem is everybody pays to develop their own set of tools, and there's not much sharing going on of the tools, but a lot of the problems are extremely common. And so the idea is that if in addition to doing the work, you could develop the tools so that when you got done using it, somebody else could use it, you would leverage the money quite seriously, because the problem we have here in Rhode Island is the same one in Massachusetts and the same one in Connecticut and the same one around the world. So we're going to be working on storm tools, and I want to talk to you about the first one, which is a simplified method for coastal flooding. Grover came to me and he said, in 3 months, I want some simplified flooding maps for all of Rhode Island. I want to have with sea level rise, and I want to have 25, 50, and 100-year storms. And he said, I don't want to pay too much, by the way. Okay, so the next one, Grover also laid the groundwork for this one, which is we're not so fond of the FEMA firm maps. We think that they got it wrong. Grover showed you a couple of things that are wrong about it. Have you ever thought of looking at from something that was 14 feet and looking up to 22 feet and 100 feet and thinking that water would stay there and not come towards you? I don't know who did those maps, but they should have taken a deep breath. But the problem here is that that's embedded in your insurance rates. That's embedded in the way you do business. The last one is that there's a riverine problem here, and we're going to go after hydrologic modeling and hydrologic coastal model coupling. And so that's the last item. So I'm not going to talk about any of those last two. So the vision for storm tools makes my head hurt. But you know how your cell phone works? You know how your web access works? There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the background. So all of that stuff that you put somewhere gets stored on the cloud. And so the idea is that we could take these really large computational models, and if we could put them on the cloud, we could get access to them on a laptop computer, on something really simple, and they're done. The calculations are done somewhere else, and I get the results, right? Well, if I could flatten the system down so that people had access to those level of tools, you get better planning and get more use of those tools. So that's the underlying conceptual framework. And if you are a cloud person, you will love the diagram here. So the cloud, of course, is in the middle, and it's set up as a web service, just like a lot of things that you have right now. It's just you access the web, and somehow there's something that goes on back there and gives you back the information that you want, right? And so the idea is exactly that same thing, but applied to the coastal problem. So I'm going to go on to the simplified flooding maps. If you're really into the bit of engineering here, the science, you love this, and if you're not, just tip your head to the slight side, and I'll pretend you're one of my students. 2 o'clock class. Okay. Okay, so the issue here is what we have a lot of is we have sea level rise maps. We also have a lot of storm maps, and what we don't have is a combination of the two. And I think you've heard a pretty compelling case that the idea to do a 25-year return period storm analysis without considering sea level rise, particularly now, is really not very wise. And so the question is, how do we get those level of maps in the hands of people that, one, actually have to make some decisions, two, to you folks in the audience? You want to have this kind of information, want to have access to it. We should be able to have a system that does that. So those of you who don't know, here's the mapping methodology that's used for the FEMA maps. The thing that I'm focused on right this minute is predicting where that red star is. And what I'm going to worry about later on is what goes on to the seaward of that location. That's the second step. But right now I'm worried about that red star location, because that sets the inside boundary of what's called the A zone. All right. How many like to do extremal analysis? Not so many. Not so many. The reason I show you this is an analysis of the water level versus return period for Newport. And so if you march out, you can go a given return period, so out at 1%, it's the 100-year event. It turns out that what the FEMA maps do is they use the once in 100-year value. The problem is that they use that dark line. And that dark line is the best estimate, right? I have used where the red dot is. And the reason is that that's the 95% confidence limit, right? So what I do is when I say I have these maps, what I'm telling you is then in addition that this is the once in 100-year return, I'm 95% confident of that based on the information we have, right? So it's conservative in that regard. So the maps that Grover was showing you, not conservative. And if you're designing and building and constructing, you would not like it to be, yeah, sorry, I guessed a little low. You'd rather have, I guessed a little bit high, I put the thing back a little further, I put it up a little higher. You heard this business about the things that are going on for amplifications. This is a picture of, I love it, moms, the maximum of maximums. So this is a result of a simulation of 10,000 different realizations of a Category 4 hurricane impacting our coastal area. And what I'd like you to do is forget about all of that stuff. Just pay attention to the color and the color gradation at the mouth of the bay versus the one at the head of the bay. That's the amplification was being discussed. So that turns out to be about 40%, 45% amplification from the mouth of the bay to the head. And you can see that if you're at the head of Buzzards Bay, much worse situation, right? And so what we're trying to do is make sure that our maps that we generated include those effects. Okay, so we heard this business about sea level rise. And the question is, there's a lot of controversy over it about what the rates are. So as an engineer, all very interesting, you have to start planning. You have to decide on what the rates are going to be. You decide on a base. So we've been using, the Corps of Engineers has come up with a map. So this shows you the sea level rise, and it shows you the low, medium, and high scenarios, right? So if you take a look at that, it turns out that if you believe the low, it's a foot into 2100, and if you believe the high, it's 5. And if you are a hedger or a better, then it's 3. All right? And so the issue is that about 25 to 50 years, you're looking at 1 or 2 feet of sea level rise, no matter how you play it out. And at 100, you could be 1 to 3 to 5. So you would guess that we would do 0, 1, 2, 3, and 5 in the mapping methods that we've developed. All right, I'm going to show you these maps, by the way. These are all web accessible. They're publicly available. They are for the entire state. They are at 1 meter resolution. They're laid over the equivalent of a Google Earth map, so you can locate your house, your road, your whatever. And these maps will show you this information. You can zoom in and zoom out as you like, so you can see what it's around your house, your neighbor's house, or somebody else's house, or some other part of the state. So what I've done is, as John has pointed out to you, we have two separate problems. So from an engineering point of view, you got one problem is sea level is rising. It's rising at a low rate. The adaptation process to that, it's a little faster than normal, but if you tell me that water level is going to rise a foot in 25 years, yeah, I could handle that, right? And if it's going to handle 5 feet in 100 years, yes, I can do that. But what's happening is we've got plenty of planning time on that, but we know we need to plan for that. So why in the world would you spend any time doing that now? And the issue is that if you've got a coastal structure that you're or an infrastructure that you're going to do, what you want to do is do that quickly, all right? And you want to do that planning now. So if you have something that's going to last a long time, you plan for that now, right? So you plan for the school, or you plan for the reservoir, or you plan for other things. Homes, not so much. 25 or 30 years, okay, right? Anyway, sea level rise maps on the right here. So these are 1, 2, 3, and 5. And then 25, 50, and 100-year storms. And as you can see, this is the upper bay. Another version of the same thing, which is now we have sea level rise plus the return periods. So we've just shown you a few of them. We have the other ones. And to the right are the FEMA maps compared to the present ones. And you can see that the present maps have much larger inundation area because they're more conservative, because they're based on the upper 95% confidence interval. The mapping tool also allows you to sort of go in and say, well, if that happens, what's the water depth at this location? And so you could do that anywhere in the map domain. Another one, which is, here's the depths of inundation, so you could take a look at that anywhere you like. And this is the difference between the two scaled maps. So the current maps are more conservative, i.e. have greater area flooded because of their nature. You got asked the question here about Newport. By the way, I've just pulled these off. These are screen captures. So you could go online and do this yourself and do it wherever it is you like. So Newport here, we have essentially sea level rise on the right and then storm surge on the left. And then we have the surge with 2 feet of sea level rise, so you can see the difference. And then you see a comparison between the FEMA maps and the present maps on the right. For those of you down in Westerly, we said, where did the audience come from? Let's see. Right. So there's the same set of maps for Westerly. So the same idea. We essentially see these areas that are going to be inundated, whether indeed you do just sea level rise or storm surge. So let's cut to the end here. This, for those that are really interested and excited about it, there's the web address for the web-based viewer. You do a search on scaled SLR, and up will come the maps. If you have a problem on the mapping, don't call me. Chris Damon is the person who put the map viewer together. This is the first introduction of these maps. We're going live with them today. We've done some internal vetting, and we're ready to have you folks kick the tires. You see something about them you like or you don't like, let us know, because we're going to iterate. And we think we have actually some of the best tools available to anybody to be able to do both sea level rise and storm surge analysis. What we're going on to do next is up the level of the game, so we're going to be doing some more sophisticated modeling to improve these estimates. So with that, I'll stop. Thank you.